Hello and welcome to the Touchdown Fracker podcast. I'm your host Lewis, and on today's show we're going to be discussing the week's fixtures as well as the Champions League, all things Mario Balotelli and much, much more. So before we get into it, let me just introduce today's guests. I'm joined by Mr. Meads and Uncle Disu themselves. Also, I'd just like to thank you all for your feedback on the podcast, all the listens, all the subscriptions. If you keep doing that, that'd be fantastic. Obviously, you can find us on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as on our website. So, let's just get into today's topic. Lads, we're seeing in the Premier League this year that the smaller teams, they seem to have game changers, and we've never really seen that in the Premier League before, don't you think?
Yeah, but what you said about the Premier, like 5 years ago, like you can get these teams, like say a Hull or something, and you go one zip up, and you know they just on a damn limitation type of mentality. Whereas now, they've got players like, and they all seem to be buying these big African strikers that can play. It's just proper annoying.
Yeah, I mean, West Ham, I don't think that you're going to beat West Ham.
I don't think they're going to beat West Ham. Sacco and Evidentia, they're not a joke.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to give Man City the run around tomorrow. And it's not even just...
Is it at West Ham?
Yeah.
Yeah.
12:45 kickoff as well.
Yeah. So I think, West Ham is going to give Man City the run around.
Man City had a midweek game as well. You know, teams tend to do a bit dodgy.
After Champions League games, Man City are the one team that tend to do alright. That's because they lose. That's the thing. They tend to be alright.
But they tend to get home fixtures afterwards.
That's very true.
They had, who's that guy they had on the... He was for Hinton, because they had a guy... Their former CEO, Geezer, he's on the board for their fame. And Ferguson used to always slyly hit that.
But we'll get
these dead away to flipping Sunderland every time after Champions League getting brushed. So we used to one season we had like I think 6 out of 6 of our Champions League follow up games away from home. I remember Ferguson was moaning for weeks about that.
I'm sure last season we had like Man United away, Chelsea away, City away.
Last season you had that. I think it was from February to April of hair fixtures. And Lewis at December was like, "Joy, I only see us dropping points twice in those games." And I was like, "Lewis, are you sure? Just not trust me. The way we're playing right now." I was like, "Okay, Lewis, we'll see."
Yeah, we got stressed out, man. I didn't take into consideration that we'd have like a million players out injured as well.
The thing is, even if we had them playing, the way Arsenal just are, you probably lost those games anyway.
But do you know what? Yeah, I don't think we get the games where we got smashed. Ramsey didn't play, did he?
He didn't play
against Man City, but I still don't think we got smashed against Man City. We just got it was like the game against Tottenham and Man City.
Every time Man City went on the pitch,
every time they went forward, they looked like scoring. Every time we went forward, we looked like scoring. They're just more clinical.
We dominated the ball. Every time we lost the ball, it looked like they
were going to
score.
That's the worst.
Yeah, very, very clinical team.
Aguero.
So that's what I see happening on Buddy Saturday, on Sunday. Like, I see us having a decent amount of possession. Crosses to the box. Good curses by Terry in there. A few block shots. But when we lose the ball and Hazard's running and Oscar's running, and the space that we leave, especially if we want to play how we play this season, where, we've got diamonds. Di Maria, when we had in possession, Di Maria is very, very wide. And then Herrera pushes quite high on the pitch. So it was literally Daily Blind just on his own in chasms of space. And our fullbacks get forward quite a lot as well, especially Rafael on the right hand side, because Herrera is tucked in. So there's always so much space in those channels in behind. And I that's what I think. And especially when one of the guys who can pick up running out of space is Eden Hazard, mates. It's going to be a deadly day that game.
You don't fancy yourself to nick something?
I'm apprehensive about the game. The same way that I was apprehensive against the Arsenal.
But why are you apprehensive, Ife?
Because in big games, anything can happen.
say, but a game where we messed up last season, Crystal Palace, anything can happen. As per the question, gets a red card. Anything can happen. So it's not a foregone conclusion. I think if
all 11 men are on the pitch from both sides, and Chelsea impose their game, then Chelsea should win. But it's not like that. Big games, you know, it's very difficult. It's tense. It may just come down to one chance. And both teams have got good attackers. So,
in fact, I was saying to Ayo before we start recording, I fancy it to be like a 0-0. I know most people will be looking at bets, for like over 5.5 and stuff like that.
It's not going to be one of them ones.
You don't think, like, I think Chelsea might pip it 1-0, or it might be a 0-0.
Yeah, I think it'll be a very tight game. It'll be a tight game. By tight, I mean tight on the scoreline. In terms of actual play, I think we may dominate the game.
I think it could be a
1-0, 2-0.
I don't think Chelsea
can play
the game. That's the funniest thing.
I don't know. To be fair, the reason why I say that, we've got now, I would have said last season, you know, we can nick it, you know, you're playing the counter attack. Chelsea, like, right now, we don't actually need to do that. We can actually control the ball, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing.
The same way West Brom controlled, you know, first 20, 25 minutes.
I think that first 10-15, about that, so for that first period
they controlled it.
We can do both
aspects, where we control, dominate the play, and we can hit you. Like, it could be 1-2-3, game over, you know. But it just depends on how clinical we are. That's why I'm not comfortable. I don't know. This is new to me, because the transition from last season to this season is very quick, and like in the way we're playing, obviously it's a lot better, but the ruthlessness, I'm not convinced that it's actually there or fully there, you know. I think, yeah, even Jose mentioned it, like, you have to maintain this ruthlessness so that you know it's not a joke, like, you know, because standards can slip at any time. You can have a bad game, you know, and it can be the worst time. It's, you know, a bruised Manchester United, they win, then, you know, the pressure's on for the title.
Yeah.
Basically, like, it's one of those ones where if we defend anything like we've done in any of those games, it will literally be Chelsea's just to throw away, because we can't defend like we did. Because we, like, literally, our defending has been abysmal. Like, when even, it's like a point where we're so comfortable, like, cruising. You saw against Leicester, cruising, look like we could score whenever we please, but then we just lapse his concentration, and we're playing against some of the best players in world football in terms of, like, Fabregas and Hazard, in my opinion.
So you've had, like, enough time now to, like, evaluate Marcus Rojo, yeah?
What? I don't think there's enough time to evaluate Marcus Rojo, me personally.
You don't think?
Actually, fair, from what I've seen...
Well, what's your first impressions of him, anyway?
So far, do you know what? I don't mind. One thing he does, yeah, when the ball's in the air and he comes on the most yellow tip and he just completely misreads it. Like, he does that quite a bit, is annoying, but apart from that, I like the way he knits it in the front foot. I like the way he's composed on the ball. So far, he's been alright. It's the guy who scares me is Jones.
What, ball watcher? Ball watcher Jones.
And the thing is, especially with Chelsea, like, pretty much everybody on that pitch, apart from Gary Cahill, is pretty comfy on the ball. Like, everybody's comfy on the ball. So him trying to nip it in the middle 30, which he likes to do a lot. Guys like Oscar, I can see them just one touch pass, and then boom, that's that space for him, just like Mourinho as well. And all the time, he always leaves that gap.
To Phil Jones?
Yeah, always leaves that gap. Always sells his other centre-half down the drain.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. If we get the goal in the first few minutes, then it could be a very long day.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think it'll be. I think it'll be. It really depends.
I really think it'll be cagey.
I need to see personnel.
But personally, I think if we play well, then
if you play well, you'll put up a fight. That's what how I see it right now.
Oh, no, in all honesty, right?
Your team is actually not that good.
No, we are actually a level above.
Your level above is because you're playing at that level. We ain't play that level where we can reach it.
Like, even if you were, like, to play top form, I'm being dead serious. Like,
so everyone
at the minute, no.
So
at
you
the minute,
say,
No. The reason why I'm saying that, even if you were to play top form, it will depend on how it will depend on Chelsea. It will actually depend on Chelsea. If we're up for it and you're up for it, we will beat you. That's how I see it.
I think I agree with your thing, to be honest.
We've got multiple ways to beat you. You know, all this philosophy stuff, all this philosophy, blah, 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 blah. No, if we were on our game, you're on your game, we'll beat you.
Who would you line up with against on Sunday?
Obviously De Gea and goal. Rafa. I'm here, I don't know about Smalling's fitness, so...
But you'd have Smalling over Jones?
Any day of the week.
Okay.
So depending on who's fit,
you were apologising in the WhatsApp group the other day.
I'm tired of both of them.
Thank you very much for manning up and apologising. Because seriously, you're shocking, man. They're both shocking.
I'm absolutely tired of both of them.
So what? You go short left back?
Yeah, short left back. I don't know why people go on like Shaw's been having a hurricanes, like
I think exactly. Because people are expecting
overwhelming
amount.
Because of price tag. And Chua is fair, it's fair game because that happens with every single other player, so I'm not complaining about it. Like, he just needs to play better. And I think he will. Daily Blinds, Herrera, Angel, Juan Mata, Falcao, and Van Persie.
That team is due to get popped, mate.
Yeah. Wait, what? Where's Van Persie playing? Up top. Who's playing behind him?
He's been on top of Falcao.
Shit. Oh. I don't know about that.
What about you, Ife? I take it you're not going to go with Fabregas and Matic holding?
Nah, it'll be Cesc, Matic and Ramirez midfield. I want Ivanovic, Zuma, Terry and Luis. Because Zuma was imperious against... Maribor, they're a small team, but imperious, like, did not put a foot wrong. His leap, he has a Ronaldo leap, guys.
Wait, so you're saying Zuma over Cahill?
Oh, every day. Every
oh, wow.
Cahill's junk.
Every day.
Cahill's junk, man.
Every day. One, Zuma can match most players for speed. Like, he's lightning quick, very strong, and he's probably got the best leap in the league. Well, actually, no, Falcao does. But he has got a ridiculous leap on him. Like, no joke, he is a unit, quick, mobile, and reads the game, and can pass. He's comfortable on the ball.
But I don't see Mourinho going Zuma or over Cahill.
We'll see. Mourinho said midweek, Zuma's always ready. Like, it's not like, he's a young guy. No, they say Zuma's ready, So we'll see. Cahill's been shocking for the past 3 weeks. And I think, Jose must see it. He must see it.
The reason why I think Chelsea is because you've got better players, like you're playing a more expansive style of play, you're getting higher pitch.
Yeah.
And even Terry, Terry's an old geezer.
Terry reads the game.
Yeah, he's so smart.
Near post.
So smart.
How old's Terry now, Ife?
He's 32.
Is that it?
Yeah, 32.
Oh my god.
Rio.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, 32, yeah.
He can't be 32. I'm here thinking he's like 35, 36. 32?
No, he's 33.
Oh, did he just turn in December? Oh, yeah.
No, he's 34 in December.
No way!
That's what I'm saying. Terry's been around for ages, man. You guys need to...
Oh, shit, yeah, he is!
He's not playing like a 32.
You guys need to start managing him, man. Like, all this playing Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday.
Where's Omaru at the moment?
Middlesbrough.
He's a
player, man. Yeah, he's a player, but he's, we need an intelligent defender. That's why we wanted Varane. We need an intelligent defender to come with him. So, the future would have been Varane and Zuma. And that would have been so long for so many people. Because seriously.
But that's going to be the... No, Zuma's French, so that's going to be the French.
Varane's a different game, man.
Varane is, on a different planet. And, I think Jose wants... Zuma to be his Varane, they're breaking through at the same time. He even mentioned this is what happened with Pepe, Varane came in, Pepe very well, and cemented his spot, and Pepe couldn't get in. And that's what happened with Cahill.
I think Zuma gets his chance.
He's taken.
KL's moving on.
John Terry's nearly 34, so I'd probably say he's got another year, 2 years at top level, right? Where his performances will more cost the team. You know, he's still our best defender. That's crazy.
John Terry.
Yeah.
I personally think he's the best centre half in the league. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Do you know why I would kind of disagree with you?
I rate John Terry. If John Terry was at the World Cup, we would have done much better. But do you think John Terry could play for many other defences except for Mourinho's?
Do you think
he would improve Liverpool's defence?
He wouldn't be able to play for these teams.
That's why I don't think you can class him as the best centre back in the league, because
I don't know.
I think John Terry's amazing, but
the issue is, yeah, and this is what we need to. That's what I want to put out there. We say okay, they can't play in these expansive teams, but if you say you put the best defender who can play in an expansive team back into a Jose team or a low defensive block, would they be as good? No, you think so?
True.
Because some defenders rely on their recovery pace.
Yeah.
So will they be as good in a low defensive block?
Yeah, well, that's both ways.
No.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fair point.
That's why. So you know, I don't know if that's like valid.
No, that's a fair point.
So it depends. Like, say for example, Koscielny, would he be able to play in a low defensive block? I don't think so. He's very good. He's very good at tackling one on one. He's very strong. But that's because, say for example, someone stands him up, he'll probably say 7-8 times out of 10, he'll probably get the ball off them. Like, that's on the stand up position. But if you're defending your box or defending,
being bombarded, sort of thing.
That's how teams get to us anyway. So when it comes to like John Terry, he's very comfortable in this.
Loves it. John Terry lives for that shit.
Yeah, he's worried about Chelsea because
replacing John Terry is not going to be easy.
Chelsea could defend against us in so many ways, which is
The Di Maria crosses. I'm not too worried about that. We've got Matic, we've got Terry, we've got Kale. If Kale's don't play, we've got Zuma. These men can really attack the ball. We've got Vanovic.
The thing people understand is that with crosses, it's not just about you could be winning here, but if the movement is
If you can defend your box, then crosses won't affect you. Like, who did you guys cross against Blair times last season? The most record in the Premier League.
Fulham.
They're comfortable.
But depends on the crosses. Like, some of the
We say some of the balls were crap, but no, because you have to look at the positioning of the defenders.
Yeah, true.
Like, we can say it's crap, but you say that. But if there's like four, five, six players in the box covering all danger zones, it's not going to be a good cross.
But the thing is, Chelsea won't play like that. But especially with Di Maria, like, he can cross it from D, and he's getting in behind you, so the defenders have to turn. And with Falcao's movement, like, it could be dangerous. That's the only reason why I've heard, because we've got players who can literally score goals like that. And also, Van Persie actually has to wake the hell up. He has to wake up. We need a Rooney so badly for this game, because I know that Rooney's always up for these games, but Van Persie needs to wake up big time.
Yeah, like, what do you think is wrong with Van Persie, Ari? Because
I don't know. Like, to me, the only thing I can think of, and this is not like, I can't call this an opinion, this is just a stab in the dark, because I don't know, but like, maybe like, he's not adapting to his body, how his body's deteriorating, because I don't think it's a hunger thing. Van Persie's a very hungry footballer, especially under Van Gaal.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's lost any sort of ability, because the guy's got bags of it. We've seen glimpses of it this season.
Yeah, I don't know. People would have said
oh, he's back. Oh, Van Persie, he's not dead. If he banged that right foot shot and it hit.
Exactly. And it went in, yeah.
And
yeah,
it went in. Because that was top quality. That was top quality. Like, ridiculous.
So, he's not making this more. This season, any Man United fan who, okay, no, let me say that. Any guy who watches, knows about football, that's what's Man United, watching our game season, I've noticed a trend. As soon as you take Falcao off, we get into trouble because Van Persie can't make the ball stick.
Yeah.
And it's not even like his touch is not there.
It's just strength. It's just strength.
Oh, that. Gone. Like, that's why I think maybe his body's deteriorating.
It's weird. Yeah, it's weird.
I definitely don't think it's a hunger thing.
If West Brom game, if you see, like, even the little balls, like, balls in the air that weren't even 50-50s or 40-60 in the defender's favour, Falcao is literally just dashing them out the way and then he's making the ball stick. That's I think that's been the difference. Like, as soon as we take Falcao off, obviously his fitness is not really there yet, we start to struggle to make the ball stick. So I think that's a lot to do with Van Persie's probably his body. But, like, I don't know, hopefully he adapts to it soon because I personally still think he's our best player. And I think we need him massively, especially on Sunday. And we need Lord God, we matter to do something. Oh, mate.
Matt will have a special motivation, but will he be able to pull it through? I don't know.
Yeah, this will be the first time we're facing you, isn't it?
Yeah, this will be the first time Grand Matter plays against his club. That is his club.
Well, if he does play.
No, he will play. He will play a part. I mean, whether it's he starts or not, he'll play.
Start, man.
Well, fair enough.
If he starts, then no, I don't know.
A lot of people want to have had to start.
Over him?
Yeah, I think. It's a bit mad. I can see why. You can see Yano's eyes. He's aggressive, like.
I can't agree with that. This season, he is not trying to take on anybody. Like, anyone.
No.
He's not. He's not been direct at all.
Like, no. Against West Brom, they defend against him well. They just double down on him straight away. And he's not at Hazard levels yet where you could double down and he's getting past both of you. Miss. Especially if he's a left footer on that right touchline, they double down on him really, really quickly. And especially because when we're playing, we had Herrera like as an attacking mid, so that right centre midfield option wasn't there. All he had to do was either go home or try and force it. So he defended against him really well. But yeah, I do agree, he hasn't been as aggressive as he was last season. But naturally, he's an aggressive player, naturally. So that's why I can see why people want him to do that, want him to us to play Yano's idea. But me personally, I wouldn't. I'll still play Mata.
Okay. Fair enough.
What, you want to play Mata wide?
No.
In behind,
yeah.
So where does Herrera play? I need to understand the system.
The normal system we've been playing up until we changed it against West Brom.
Oh, what? Diamond?
Yeah, Diamond, yeah.
So Herrera,
Di Maria, on either side of the Diamond.
So you would actually leave blind, isolated. That's what you're saying.
No. Me personally, I wouldn't have Herrera pressing high as high as he does. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but
he presses proper high. He presses even above ahead of Mata or Rooney, who's been playing there sometimes. Like, he presses really hard to pitch. Obviously, that's Gaffer's instruction because Herrera, he's not like he's got some sort of learning difficulty.
He's very intelligent.
Yeah, so that's Gaffer's instruction. I don't think we can't afford to go against Chelsea. Especially that demon Eden Hazard on the pitch. We can't afford that guy to get that much space.
It's not. Do you know what? I don't even think in this game Eden Hazard is the real threat. The real threat is if he's fit is Ramirez. If he plays, then you are in big trouble. And Willian, if them two play,
Willian, you guys
are in massive trouble. And like, if you saw Willian's performance against Maribor and against Crystal Palace, like, the guy takes games away from, like, he takes games away from teams. Like, I can't explain it. He will, like, say for example the opposing team is building up ahead of steam, you know, and like, he will do the tracking back, he'll muscle the, you know, the potential winger, the threat off the ball, and he'll carry the team all the way up the pitch. It will carry us all the way back up the pitch, and then the pressure's back on you, and like, you know, that momentum doesn't build, you know, and it's difficult, especially for United, where they don't build pressure now. Like, you know, United of old, when it was on, it is really, really, really peak. Like, you know,
no getting there. There's no, you know, it's you have to just, it's all hands to the pump, basically. Like, if they're losing 2-1, Scholes is dipping out balls to the wingers and they're flying the balls in the box. Bump, get to the byline, cross, you know, and eventually they'll suck a goal in. You know what I mean? Like, United are not doing that right now. They're not building that momentum. Right? So it's difficult. So when, obviously, there's a certain player or certain type of player that can bring a whole team up the pitch, like Willian, like Ramirez.
Yeah,
because
they're really
going to
carry the ball through central areas.
Yeah, like, then you're in trouble.
And Linning's stopping that, mate. So.
Oh, yeah, no,
all right, guys, without risking this show being completely about Chelsea and Man United.
Yeah, interesting.
I think probably move on to
Balotelli.
Yeah. What do you mean? He tried to punch up someone for taking a picture of his car.
Yeah, that's calm.
Wait, did he actually?
I'm battering. No, it's not true. He apparently made threats towards someone and.
He'd get away from his car.
I don't know about threats.
I'm sure it's nothing. I'm sure it's nothing. But obviously, because Balotelli makes the headlines. Yeah, it probably happened like 3 years ago or something,
yeah,
but they've just been saving it.
Simply because these things happen in football. It's not Mario Balotelli. It's not just because it's Mario Balotelli that these things happen in football. Mohamedou Sakho did this exact act at half time with Samuel Eto'o last season when his team were losing. At the bridge when his team were losing.
What do you guys think about this whole shirt swapping thing, though? Because
I don't think it's a big deal.
I think it's a huge problem. I think it's a problem.
I think obviously for the football purists, like what the hell are you doing? Like, you're kind of like conforming with the enemy mid battle.
Yeah.
The thing is,
that's what I get out of it.
No, I see it, but in terms of when you lose, I don't see why people talk about that, because that's irrelevant. Because we're swapping shirts. It's not like during the daytime when I think it was a massive thing when Andros Santos. What's his name?
Santos.
Yeah, Santos.
Because it was halftime. Man United Arsenal is like blood hatred. And it's Van Persie, the guy who left you to join Manchester United. You're taking.
No, he was taking a biscuit. I don't know what that was for.
That was a brain dead moment for him. That was brain dead. But, like with this one, I heard Coutinho stop to shock somebody at halftime as well.
Did he?
Yeah, apparently Coutinho stopped to shock
somebody. Yeah, because Brendan Rodgers said that they fined someone last year for it or something like that, didn't they?
He's talking about soccer. Coutinho swapped a shirt with somebody. I think it was either this game or it was a recent game. I'm 100% sure Coutinho swapped a shirt.
Half time?
Yeah, half time, yeah.
Man.
It was a Chelsea game. Oscar.
Really?
It was Oscar. I'm not sure if it was the last one.
I just think that end of match rituals should just be left to. At the end of the match.
Fair enough.
Because fans are going to get pissed off, and I can't blame them for that.
Liverpool signed about eight players, whatever the hell they signed it yet. How many of them have actually played well? Probably none. Lloris was okay. So why is it bad every week? You bought Lovren. Liverpool's biggest problem this season is the defender. Lovren has been pants. In fact, the whole defence has been pants. So instead of people to actually question, okay, first and foremost, why can't Liverpool defend any ball that leaves the ground and enters their box? No one wants to talk about that.
Do you know why? I think Lovren kind of gets a blind.
Why would Gerrard, Allen, Henderson chasing shadows can't keep possession? No one wants to talk about that. They want to talk about Balotelli. So what? And the thing is, I had a trainer that day, so I was thinking, let me watch the game. So I had a day off yesterday, so I found a link on YouTube that I watched 90 minutes. I didn't think Balotelli played that. I don't see what he did that wanted him to get subbed and then other people to on the pitch. Why should Balotelli get subbed? And I don't know, why was Stephen Gerrard on the pitch? Well, because he's got captain's armband.
Yeah.
Was crap. Adam was crap. Coutinho was crap. Henderson was crap. The whole back four was crap. Do you know what I mean? Only Balotelli and Sterling did okay with the scraps they got. And you get Jamie Carragher, all them guys was going at Balotelli. And the funny thing, remember the earlier pods, Lewis, when I was saying I don't think Liverpool should sign Balotelli because I think it's going to slow their play down.
It's going to slow their play down, yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of happened, so I don't understand why people are surprised. Like, this is. I don't know why Brendan Rodgers is surprised. Like, bad things gonna come and do? Like, did you really think he's gonna change his whole style of play? Like, has he? He's not that. I don't understand.
Yeah.
And just talk about filling him in January. Okay, fill him in January and then Bahu.
I don't think that's feasible for 1 second. I don't think they'll sell him in January.
No.
But if they did that, then I'd feel sick to my stomach. It's because it's not Brendan Rodgers. Like, he will be listening to the Liverpool, you know, legends. I say that in the way of Thomas Guy. I don't give a fuck about him. To
he's dinosaurs.
I mean, Jamie Redknapp. Fuck him, he's not a legend. What the fuck has he won? Like, fuck him. Like, he knows fuck all, to be honest.
I can't stand Graham Souness.
He knows fuck all. But you've got people like Graham Souness, like, who speak of Balotelli like, you know, like he's a piece of shit. Like,
he does.
Hindrance. Like, I understand, yeah, Balotelli may not be the best trainer, or, you know, but we don't know. And in terms of I say this, but on the pitch, maybe he doesn't apply himself fully, yeah? But we don't know what he's like in training. We don't know. But clearly, he must do enough for Brendan Rodgers to actually believe in him. And the funniest thing is that the agenda, it's like they are trying to will the sale of Bentley.
Yeah.
It's not even just like the Liverpool legends. It's the media, right? And this is what it's showing to me. It's showing it's clear as day. Liverpool are media darlings. Without a shadow of a doubt, they are media darlings. Like,
the thing was funny. Okay, look at Liverpool's third goal. You know? And it was Benzema, and then Steven Gerrard calling for offside.
Yeah,
he's playing offside. If that was Hazard. If that was like Wayne Rooney or somebody like that, you'd get slaughtered.
Nah, I don't think Rooney would get slaughtered.
Nah, like that.
He'd get more stick than Gerrard.
Gerrard, yes. Okay, who would definitely get slaughtered? If it was Rio Ferdinand, oh my
god. Yeah, he's a defender though. I don't know. I think, but in that example there, if it was Balotelli, oh my word.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh my god. Oh my word.
I mean, just coming away from Mario, you just spoke about no one's really said anything about Steven Gerrard. When is it time to really start having a good old criticise at Steven Gerrard and thinking about his long term future?
About 2 years ago, mate.
Yeah, I think he's quite finished.
He's finished the time. He's been finished for ages. Ages.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, in my opinion, he's literally on the pitch for set pieces.
Yeah, I fully agree. Fully.
I don't know, man. That's all I see him contributing in a positive. Like, unless the opposition just let him have the ball with all time in the world, he'll do his thing where he's just finding people from all over the pitch. He could do that if he has time. But like, once they sit somebody on him, he ain't got the nous or like or the feet to, you know, to get away from them. So he literally doesn't do anything apart from hitting Liverpool. And especially if Liverpool ain't keeping the ball as well, like he doesn't. I'm sure he's there, you know, for that offensive ability, especially when dictating play and stuff. But off the ball, I mean, when they lose the ball, he's not the defensive force. So at the moment, he's not given anything in both sides. So really truly he's a hindrance. He's an actual hindrance.
Fully agreed. I mean,
he's looking better than Lampard at the moment.
Do you know what a massive shame is? And not a massive shame. It's like that whole Lampard Gerrard debate, I've always said, and you know, I've always said to my friends, like, for a long, long time ago, from school till now, I've always maintained that yes, Gerrard's a better footballer, but relied heavily on his explosiveness. So once that explosiveness dies, Frank Lampard, I said in the top level, Frank Lampard will, over the course of his career, be a better player. By the end of his career, Lampard will be the better footballer.
simply because he never ever really relied on pace. He relied on footballing intelligence and being at the right place at the right time, scoring fantastic goals. That was Frank Lampard. That's what he made his name out of. That's what he made the base of his career out of. Not, you know, Stevie Mee running around the pitch, you know, energetic, powerful, you know, in his pomp. Gerrard was, you know, the man. But, like, now, like, it's a shame to see what he was to what he is now. Like, to from being the man to being the fuck-up in the team. It is a shame. Because, like...
What do you think it will take for Liverpool fans to start realising this? Because it's very hard. Like,
Nothing. Because even with Chelsea fans, it took a very, very long time to realise that Frank was finished. It took a very long time. And even when Frank was finished, he was still coming up with the odd goal, you know?
But to, like, make you sort of like...
Yeah, so, like, in general play, it was just like, oh, man, you know, he is really fucking us up. And there was one game that really did it for me. It was, Champions League against Basel. He was in midfield with Van Ginkel. We didn't have Ramirez, we didn't have Mikel, it was just Van Ginkel and Lampard.
Oh, is that the game they beat you?
Yeah, they beat us both home and away.
Oh, wow.
Champions League.
I thought, sorry, for Liverpool, mate.
Frank Lampard was shocking. And that's not to pardon Van Ginkel. He was having to make rash challenges because he was left all alone in midfield. All alone. And this is not a defensive midfielder. Van Ginkel's not a defensive midfielder. He's a box-to-box, central attacking midfielder, centre midfielder, right? He's not a DM in any way, shape, or form. And Lampard is, like, you know, bombing on, running ahead of Oscar. You're just like, Frank, what are you doing? And then he's tackling back, not tackling properly. Like, he just... You're just looking at him, giving loose, like, I mean, 5-yard, 10-yard passes, like, he just passing it straight to the defenders in the field. You're just like, oh my god, this is shocking. And how many games, I think the past 5 games, Gerrard's passing percentage has been disgraceful. worse than Lampard's has ever been, for example. But the Liverpool fans won't see it simply because of everything he's done for the club. And that's out of respect. I understand it. You become naive, you know, you turn a blind eye to the performances and you start looking elsewhere for real issues and stuff. But I think a big part of Liverpool's problem is their inability to control games. Like now,
they've
got no midfield. Because last season, they were very reliant on the press, and the press came from the front. The front, obviously, now Liverpool haven't really got the players to be doing a press. Even with Coutinho, wasn't the first line of pressing, nor was Sterling. Like last season, Suarez. It was Sturridge, Suarez, Sterling in behind or wide. It was them three. Those three were the main pressers. Then you had Coutinho. Then you had Allen and Henderson. And Gerrard was barely pressing. He was just sat there, you know. Now you take away the main two that were the key pressers. Then you've got Sterling who's pressing alone. You just pop it by him. What next? Then you've got Coutinho who's doing half-hearted pressing. Coutinho's been very poor this season. He's been very, very poor. Even Liverpool fans have started to notice it. But no comment on Gerrard.
They went from better than Ozil to maybe Coutinho alone.
Yeah.
No.
No, I can't. I've seen Arsenal supporters suggest that Ozil should go out on loan as well.
No, but those aren't supporters. Those are them guys with like 5,000 following and following and what, 2 followers. But I'm like, they are real human beings. Like,
I'm like, you know, we took many fans. Like, you know, we look at the Liverpool of last season, Liverpool of this season, and we feel, wow, this is a real contrast. What's going on to their style of play? Their pattern of play is very different. But you have to have the right players in place to maintain the same philosophy, the same
but I think that's a
intensity.
I respect him and I really, really like him as a manager. In fact, apart
Brendan
from
Rodgers.
Yeah, but it's his fault.
The spending
was just absolutely to be fair, quite a lot of players you bought, I personally like them. Like, I like Markovic, I like Lambert, I like Lovren, I like Lennon. But they're not players that will take you to an extent.
it's not for me. It's not even about, you know, whether they'll take them to the next level.
Because
In all seriousness, these players were bought to supplement what they already have. That nucleus, you know, of the Sterling, Sturridge, Suarez, the press, the high intensity press, and then you've got Lallana. If that doesn't go right, you've got Lallana to switch. It wasn't ever a thing where Lallana would be a starter.
I think it was like a supplement. Why are you supplementing?
Because their squad was very thin. That's a fact. Their squad was very thin, and they needed bodies for the Champions League. That's perfectly feasible. So I'm not necessarily I'm not excusing him from the transfer market. I'm making sense of it. I don't think he bought particularly well.
The numbers were definitely justified.
He bought simply because of squad capability, the inability to cope with Champions League football.
He had
the smaller squad last season.
This is my point, you've now qualified for the Champions League, you're playing more games, and you've come second, so the expectations are higher, so you now have to, you know, get close to that at least and still have a decent show in the Champions League. You've now lost your best player, Luis Suarez.
Yeah.
So please tell me, okay, so at the end of the, okay, so when did the season end? May, whatever. How from that May, that day, you spent XYZ amount of money, to this day, you've now got less quality players than you had then.
Suarez didn't leave until the World Cup.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I'm saying now, like, effectively, they have less
There was no. I understand. I know what you're saying, because you're thinking, okay, you've got Champions League money, you can go out and spend. Okay. So, but we need to remember, the transfer window doesn't open until when? June? That's after the World Cup. So, most managers, they may have identified their targets before end of the season, or maybe after the World Cup, you know, just in case injuries and blah, blah, blah. So, many of the deals are not done until after the World Cup. So after the World Cup, Suarez starts kicking up a fuss again, saying he wants to leave. Your whole approach to transfer change. Liverpool's entire structure, strategy, you know, their targets, like the whole mentality changed.
I need
to bear in mind, it's almost like me personally, I look at Liverpool, I'm thinking, Rob, like Brendan, you're going against your principles, your philosophy. Like, you're going against your philosophy. Like, you didn't buy the correct striker. You didn't buy, you know, you may not get a Luis Suarez, you know, but there's many players out there, many strikers out there who are willing to run, you know.
Sanchez would have been perfect for them.
You know? I think Sanchez is the one that really hurt Brendan, and I could tell it hurt Brendan because of his snide comment towards
us. He was
so gutted because he knew, like, Sanchez would have been, I mean, Sanchez, imagine Sanchez, Sterling and Sturridge. That is pace. That is power. Sanchez has power. He's very strong, right? He's very quick, and he can press. Of your entire team, he's the only one that does the pressing, which is shocking, to be honest. Like, he's the only one. Not to the level of Sanchez, and that's why, like, this is the funniest thing with Arsenal fans. Oh my God, Sanchez! Oh, he's so hardworking. Hardest working player in the league. No, that's not the case. It's because your entire squad, your entire team, are lazy.
I don't think it's necessarily lazy.
They don't press to his intensity. They don't press. That Sanchez press, if, for example, Suarez came to Arsenal, you would have been like, oh my God, Suarez is work rate.
Lewis, you know as footballers, you know, you play football as well. There's pressing and there's that. I'm running to that. I'm looking. looking like I'm doing something, but I'm not really the type of person. Do you know what I mean?
Let me ask you a question, though. Because I've noticed in my short time of coaching, our team has a bit of a problem right now. At the start of the season, when we won 11 games in a row, we were pressing amazingly. Like, we'll close the defenders down. It'll be smart pressing. But as soon as we started losing games now,
it
dies down. People become more reserved, especially if you get thumped as well. If you lose a game and you lose, say, like 4-0, and you become, you start filling in. So you start defending a little bit deeper. Your forward players start defending a little bit deeper, start covering the fullback a little bit more. I'm just wondering how much that has to do with Arsenal's lack of pressing. Because there were certain games last season where Arsenal pressed very well.
I think that's true. But do you know what? And this is the weirdest thing. But I fully agree with what you're saying, Lewis, because the same could be said to Liverpool. The same could be said for Liverpool. But my issue is, and particularly with Arsenal more so than Liverpool, because Liverpool, Brendan Rodgers as a coach is more flexible and tactically, you know, more astute than I'd say than Wenger is. But the issue is, Wenger's very stubborn, yeah? So he is one to believe in his philosophy of, okay, if we're doing this press, then we'll maintain it. Don't matter if we're losing 2-0 every week, we'll maintain what we do because it will come off eventually. So why should he not be the one to be instilling? No, we'll play our game. Why would he allow the team to, you know, drop off or we messed up, so we
with Wenger's ideology, that should not be the case because we know Wenger's principles are they never change. Well, they rarely change anyway. I don't know, but it could just be a subconscious thing within the players, you know? I mean, I don't think Wenger specifically told them, don't press. But if you've been humbled a few times, and...
From what I've read.
I don't think Arsenal have ever been humbled by a pressing game.
I think we've been humbled by playing too far up the pitch.
That's positional, that's nothing to do with you pressing.
It slightly is because you have to press high up the pitch if
you're not pressuring the ball high up the pitch,
there's no point of pressuring the ball if you're not going to do it high up the pitch.
This is another issue though. Whenever you guys play high up the pitch, I do not see pressing. That's what I'm trying to say.
I'm not saying that we do it to great effect, but I mean, there was a few games last season that I remember. Napoli, we did it. We did it for the first 20 minutes against Bayern Munich. We did it against Liverpool at the Emirates.
Napoli, your best performance last season.
Yeah, and we pressed from the front so well. And that it's no coincidence that we were winning games so comfortably, 2-0. It was just 2-0s, 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 2-0s every single game. And I just... When we went through that run of when Ramsey got injured and then we got thumped a little bit, we started to dip in performance. We started to I don't know. I think maybe it's a subconscious thing, maybe within the players. I don't think Wenger has specifically told these guys, you know, press less. Maybe.
See the pressing thing. Yeah, I'm not a believer. Is that what you do? If it suits your players and it works, it's fine, isn't it? But you can't have like a disparity in your team's tactics. Like with Arsenal, it seems like some of your players want to press the ball high on the pitch, and some of them don't.
Yeah.
And with that, you just create the gaps. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I suppose it doesn't help as well when you've got a bloody makeshift defence. Not an excuse because that's Wenger's entirely own doing, but it doesn't help when you're trying to protect Hector Bellerin, Callum Chambers, Nacho Monreal at centre back. You know, these things are all playing its part, I think, in my opinion anyway. And I think the instability across the pitch is kind of affecting us going forward as well. Because as I was saying before the pod, other than against Dortmund and Chelsea, I don't think any team has actually smashed us this season. I think we've been involved in tight games where teams have taken their chances against us.
That also says, yeah, it's true, but that also says a lot about the team. I think United, we really gave them comfortable. Like, we just allow teams just to get in that box and score, and it's still poor. Doesn't matter. Like, you have most of the game, that's not good enough.
Yeah, of course not.
Because I look at it the other way. Why do we have most of the game and we're not comfortably winning? Because I've seen United teams that don't even have 50% of the game and we're still brushing teams freeze it.
But then how much, that's what I'm saying, how much does that have to do with you not putting 100% into going forward because you're very wary of your deficiencies at the back?
No, I think with Arsenal, it just seems that when you go forward, you don't actually have a clue. You don't seem like you have a specific pattern of play anymore. Like, compared to the Nasri...
Shout out, Lima.
Compared to the Nasri, Kleb, DRB, Rizitsky, Fabregas, RVP, that team, it was clear how you lot played. You got pass, quick, incisive. We got to the final front, there's a lot of innovation, a lot of quick 1-2s, balls around the back, little flicks. Like, with this team, it just seems like, you may put your opponents in their own box for a lot of the game at Emirates, but you're just kind of passing the ball around aimlessly, like pointless possession type of thing. And I think, I think the only really four Arsenal games I've seen this season were the two defeats, I think, against Dortmund and Chelsea. I don't want to talk about the Dortmund game because you just got battered, they're a good team, whatever. But the Chelsea game, it's you're easy to defend against because you get to the edge of the box, you'll be reluctant to put the ball in, so you don't want to turn, so that's not turning the defenders' heads around. So the ball can be placed in front of them, and you get to the edge of the box, and you don't want to shoot. So if you're not going to shoot, they can still stay deep. They don't have to come out because you're not across the ball, you don't want to shoot, you're going to try to play through them, so they just stay deep and compact, and then sometimes you can't get through. It's very difficult to get through a compact defence, especially with the decent defenders. Like, unless you're Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Barca, I see. And even those teams, they get the ball out wide and they shoot from outside the box.
Yeah.
So it's like you're becoming too easy to defend against.
I think that's what I said.
Unless Sanchez just happens to take
home. Exactly, yeah. Unless Sanchez... I mean, a lot of our goals this season have come directly through Sanchez or something from Sanchez, like... doing something out wide, or as we saw against Hull, driving through the middle and sort of creating gaps.
We have been a lot better than you going forward, but even still, we kind of over rely on Di Maria, but even still, we probably have a lot more ideas than you going forward. But we sometimes get stuck into that little,
going backwards and it's just ticking over sort of thing, and it's like,
yeah. But to be fair, we're much more aggressive than you. We won't get the ball to the box, and that's just possible. But I think our problem is that we don't retain the ball as well as you sometimes.
See, I think one thing Arsenal do very well is you see an abundance of late goals from us. And I think literally every single game this season, bar maybe Man City, Chelsea, who else? Dortmund, and there's one more game, I think, Leicester. I think we've scored late goals in every single game. And
you've always been like that, to be fair.
Yeah, but this season it is in its full effect. It's like we're actually getting key goals, like equalisers or winners in the last minute. And
Of course not.
But I think what we do quite well is
you start getting brushed.
Yeah. And well, you saw against we were lucky against Anderlecht. We should have lost that game. How on earth we won that game, I do not know.
I didn't even see the game, but I saw scored two goals last 2 minutes, I was thinking, bloody hell.
Yeah, yeah. And do you know what? We didn't even get ourselves into those positions all game, but that's what, in the last 2 minutes, I was saying this on Twitter the other day, I think our Arsenal get a lot of flack in terms of the amount of injuries they pick up, but Arsenal generally are one of the fittest teams in the league.
Yeah, for years you've been always that team that the last minute, scoring loads of goals. Yeah,
and really, we managed to just be able to shift gears. Even in the last minute of the game, we managed to do it. And I think we get a lot of stick for picking up a lot of injuries and whatnot. But not enough credit gets given. I know we don't want to be relying on late goals, but, a football match is for 90 minutes. And if you can be productive in a 90th minute, that's of course beneficial, isn't it? So... But you're right with Arsenal. I don't think we really have.
Bloody hell, signing Sanchez was so crucial, man.
Oh, if we didn't have Sanchez this season, we'd be in so much trouble. So much trouble. Like, he's the only thing that, like, against Sunderland, I don't know where we're going to score goals from, but...
You probably lose.
Oh, God. You know what? It's one of them games where we probably will lose. Like, a team just coming off the back of an 8-0.
8-0 hammering.
And yeah. They'll come out and go 2-0 up inside the first 2 minutes or something like that.
I think Spurs are playing Newcastle. I expect Spurs to win.
Yeah.
Who else is playing?
You got West Ham, Man City, so that would be a tough game for City.
Yeah, I'm expecting West Ham to get points from that.
Yeah.
Who else is there?
West Ham are playing very well. They're very good going forward, and I don't think City don't look that great at the back.
Who are Liverpool playing?
Liverpool got Hull at home. But Hull got points from them last season in both games, wasn't there? No, was it both games? Didn't Hull do the double over Liverpool last season? Or was that Man? No, you beat them, didn't you?
Yeah.
I'm sure Hull beat Liverpool at least once last season.
They might have.
I think who've Everton got? I don't know who Everton have got.
I saw who is it again? Oh, I saw I'm not looking at it today.
We got Southampton Stoke, so Southampton will win that.
Yeah, continue.
West Brom Crystal Palace.
I think West Brom will beat Crystal Palace. Palace can't be that great.
Yeah. So
that might be a draw, actually.
Berahino to probably score in that game again. He's on fire, mate.
Yeah, good player.
Swansea Leicester, that's the 5:30. That should be a good game, actually.
Swansea probably do them over.
Yeah. Everton have got Burnley away. Yeah, we're just saying. I think West Ham might get something out of it.
But City squad is so. Should I tell you one thing about. I don't. See this Yaya Keys, like, yeah? I don't know what. I'm telling you, do it is now because. I don't know why has it randomly been highlighted that Yaya Toure has this kind of lax attitude? Because he's had this from.
This is what I'm saying. He's had this for ages. It's the same thing as Gerrard last year. Gerrard had. Was shocking first 6 months of the season, but he starts scoring some penalties, free kicks, and setting up goals from corners, and all of a sudden he's revitalised. No.
But
you've just got to take in overall performances.
Like always. Since the day he touched Manchester, don't get me wrong, Yaya Toure is a flipping baller. Like, the way he strikes the ball, the way he can carry, the way he sees a pass, he's a proper footballer.
Yeah.
But he's just not bothered. Like,
he's proper not bothered.
He's proper not bothered.
Yeah. I think he needs a new challenge. I personally think he wanted to move this summer.
You know he wants to leave.
Yeah.
He wants to leave from early. Like, the first, every chance, every season he's been spoken about, yeah, I want to head on.
But it just makes no sense for any team to take him, that's the thing. Like, yeah, unless someone like Monaco or PSG fully come out and say...
I think he really wants to go back to Barcelona.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, definitely not going to happen. Or he will happily go to Paris... And I can see that.
I can see it happening, but I mean, from a financial point of view, you look at Yaya, what's he, 31?
He's in the 200s, but you don't understand that. First of all, PSG will happily pay that money.
Well, yeah.
Lucas Moura's on €200,000 there. Like they're popping above, they'll pay. And players can easily take a pay cut. Because it's not like he's 26, he's in his 30s. He'll take 30 grand less.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, he'll take 30 grand. Yeah, I mean, what's 30 grand to these guys?
Yeah.
In all seriousness.
And realistically, like, he'll probably make that back up anyway. There's probably some stupid new sponsorship you'll get.
Well, they'll probably give him some crazy signing on fee or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Trust me, there's always ways around these type of things. He'll probably dip on. And then I think when he does leave... It'll be very interesting how City take it because they still lack that midfield conductor.
Yeah,
and I think Cesc Fabregas would have been perfect.
Cesc Fabregas would have been perfect for them.
I don't understand why the whole universe wants Chelsea get Cesc Fabregas.
I know, it makes me sick. It
makes me sick to my stomach. Like, the guy is different gear. He's just come back to the Premiership and it's child's play.
Yeah.
It's actual child's play.
Yeah.
And those type of players, they don't come often.
So who do you think, I've got a feeling Yaya might leave at the end of the season, so, I mean, who would Man City look to bring in? Is there...
They'll probably go for Barkley.
Yeah.
Especially with the whole, the British player, blah, blah, blah. I don't know much about those rules, but I know City are looking to invest more in English players, as we're a lot of talk about Barkley, so they might go for Barkley. Hopefully not. I don't want him to kill his career. Very talented.
Do you think they will kill his career, though? Because I think he'll actually start for them.
Would he start and play in a position that will help him thrive?
To be fair, it also depends on who's going to come in, because Pellegrini won't be there at the end of the season.
It won't surprise me.
Because they're not going to win the league. They're probably going out of Europe.
They're so lucky that flipping... that Roma got spanked. Roma just needed a draw. That's all they needed is a draw, Roma. All they needed was a draw.
Well, but to be fair, I can't see City going to Roma and getting anything. I can't.
Of course not, but I mean, like,
you know?
The draw would have solidified it for me.
Yeah.
It would have, and then that's even more pressure on what's his name?
Pellegrini.
Yeah, Pellegrini.
Yeah, I can't see him being there at the end of the season, personally. I think they'll look to someone else.
So I don't understand why they just don't leave Aguero off and have Silver off him on a consistent basis. But then Zeko's quality, though.
What, you mean come away from the 4-4-2?
I mean, if they're going, like, in certain games, like, I think it's just... Like, sometimes they take, like... They, when they have a grower off on his own, they have, like, Yaya off him instead. Like, I just... If you're not somebody off a grower, it's got to be David Silva. But I do like the fact that they still play 2-on-1. I think
he's going to get some more games as well. Oh, God, I keep forgetting about this guy, man.
He's a baller, man. He's a proper, proper baller. Proper baller.
It makes me sick how many players they've got, mate.
We had this discussion about Fabregas sometime, I think it was last season, about whether he's regressed or not. I think we said that on Twitter. And we said... Maybe not regressed, but he's definitely stalled. I think his career stalled. I don't know if he was a better player.
Remember, I said he hasn't regressed. He's just not the environment that suits him.
I think he's regressed. I think I said he's not the Cesc Fabregas or Arsenal. You know, he looks like a far worse player.
Barcelona can do that for you, though, man.
It wasn't the right environment.
Yeah.
Naturally. Nah. It just wasn't.
Well, I'm very pissed off you are now eating your words, Ife.
Like I said with Costa, like I said with Balotelli, I said, like, listen, if I'm proved wrong in these kind of, you know, predictions, then I'm more than happy, especially if it's...
What did you say about Balotelli?
I said Balotelli would bang for Chelsea.
He probably would bang for Chelsea.
I think he suits you.
I think Balotelli is more suited to Chelsea than he is to Liverpool.
Liverpool should have got Remy. Liverpool fans were showing me articles from like 2006 when he failed a medical when he was playing for Gangomp or something, man. Fuck all that.
You know how fans are. Like, instead of them to actually take in that maybe their club is something wrong, they will go out of their way.
I thought that was disgusting from Liverpool, though. I think to come out and say, oh, what did they say? That he failed his medical, and I would have been so pissed off if I was new QPR.
They said there was a problem with the medical.
I would have been so pissed off if I was QPR. I would take him to court, mate, I'm telling you. Because, you know, that sort of stuff. They obviously wanted to get shot of Remy. And that
I can't believe Liverpool, like, passed out, because I think he would have been perfect with Daniel. Obviously, Daniel's not fit now, but, like, it would have suited them.
He's just more busy than Ballo, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And it suits the way Liverpool play. Like, they like a lot of quick movement. But I think Balotelli's one of them players that... I think he has to be the focal point of the team.
Yeah.
He kind of seems that way to me. Or playing a team that likes to have a striker that, you know, holds the ball up, plays with his back to goal, plays at his.
But I don't think we're ever going to see a Balotelli who's going to get 25 goals a season. I just can't
see it.
He's
never got more than 14 league goals.
And how many of them are penalties? I know penalties are goals, but...
They're still goals, man.
I so disagree, because you get strikers who manage to do it without penalties.
Yeah, and you get strikers who do it.
Aguero does it without penalties. Well, all right, say it for fine. He's got four penalties every day, but Yaya normally takes the penalties, don't he? So.
No. Aguero's there. He's taking them. It's one of those ones where, obviously, more time the top striker take the penalties anyway, but they just happen to score a lot of other goals regardless. Van Persie takes penalties, but he bangs other goals. Same with.
There are a lot of strikers out there who will score 20 goals for you without penalties included.
Yeah, true.
And Balo is not one of them, in my opinion.
Because Balo's not us. He's not buffed.
No, I don't know.
Balo's not
buffed. Fair enough. He's not buffed.
At times.
Yeah, we say he's not buffed, and you say he scores 6-7 penalties a season. Cool, okay. But how many times has Balotelli been the actual main striker?
Just with AC Milan, innit?
And did he not? He went in January.
He had a year and a half there, didn't he?
14 goals.
Yeah, 14 goals, and like 10 of them are pens, don't you think?
Seven of those are penalties.
And then like 3 were free kicks. This guy just sounds like a black Steven Gerrard, mate.
Yeah, but he scored them goals, he got them in the Champions League.
Yeah, listen up. Giroud scores more than 14 goals in a season, mate.
Don't think about how many times did Balotelli come off the bench for Man City or was on the pitch, and in the last 20 minutes, especially at Etihad, he would just hit the ball for 25 yards to go in. He won so many games for Man City in that title of the season. So many games he won for them. I can remember, was it Blackburn or somebody cuts him from the left, boom, top corner against Man United. He was the difference. He scored the first two goals at Old Trafford in that 6-1 hammer. He made a difference when he came on against QPR. Against, I think, Sunderland, when they were losing 3-1. And they came out to make a 3-2 draw. He was a difference then. Like, I think that he does get a lot of disservice, but that's mainly due to his attitude. So,
yeah.
That's just his attitude. He's still not, I think he's a player, isn't it?
Mm.
He's a player. But I don't think he was a player for Liverpool. And especially with a team like Liverpool, I don't think they could afford risk. Like, you've just made up for your 4 or 5 years of slack. But again, Liverpool, they tried their best though.
Mm.
So as much as I want to cast them, well, in the striker department anyway, they're waiting for Falcao, they're waiting for Cavani, they're waiting for Benzema.
And Sanchez, and Cavani,
and they got air from them, so you can't blame them. But I seriously don't understand why they can't sign decent central midfielders. Because none of them are ballers. No, I haven't seen much of Emre Can, but the rest of them lads...
All I've seen from Emre Can is some vine of where he barged Balotelli off the ball, and that's it, man.
That's not hard, because Balotelli, barely uses his body. So.
Mm. Guys, I just want to talk about one thing before we call it a day. Pep and his apparently Man United links and whatnot.
Jesus, please, listen. that would be a dream. But it just depends on circumstances. I think his contract ends.
That's the thing about managerial.
It's
hard to call it, because if LVG has a good season, Pep might decide.
I think Pep's contract ends a year before LVG's one due. So for me, the perfect scenario is obviously LVG's doing well, she's carrying on, and then Pep takes a year out, go traveling the world or something.
He's already done that.
Yeah. He wants to travel some more, isn't it?
Yeah, go take a wife somewhere if he's got a wife. And then then Ed Woodward turns up in Spain with an LV bag full of cash and says, "Listen, mate, it's time for you to come and take over."
I think Man City would appeal more to him than Man United, though. I think Man City would appeal more to him than Man United.
I agreed.
Because he'll have a chance to build what he wants.
I
think he's more the type, though, to be more traditional clubs.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Mm.
And I think with Man United, they give like with LVG, the ones that always start doing. Like he wants all the pitches relayed. He wants all the systems back. They just have a club that they'll trust you to do that. And Pep the manager will just say, "Yeah, you can do that." But
But do you know what?
The bad
match.
That's my concern about with if he was to come Arsenal or something. I want someone who's going to stay there for time, man. I don't want someone who's going to fuck off after 2 years.
Because looking at him, I'm thinking, would he actually be able to rebuild Manchester United from the ground up? That's what I'm like, from the youth team, everything. The whole style of play from the youth team up, you know? Literally, you know? Would he be able to do that? Would he want to do that? Would he be given the power to do it?
Would he given the power? Yes. Would he want to? That's the question.
But I'd say power as well. Bring in your own youth staff. Do you know what I mean? His style of play.
I think with certain managers, they have that big job. I think certain managers have that type of pedigree, and I think he's not David Moyes. They will actually allow him to do that. Same thing with that. With her say that. If you want something to be done, Roman will probably, especially after the effort last time, Roman wouldn't ensure. And I think, especially if what happened with Moyes, share prices, not even just on the pitch, off the pitch, share prices plummeted and all sorts. But they're looking for that to happen again. Period. They are not looking for that to happen again. So I think that they'll be willing to, move. If the top asset, like with any business, he's a top asset, they'll put the money where their mouth is and say, yeah. Take the terms. So I think it just depends if the time's right and if he fancies it. But it would be nice to see, because the performance that Bayern Munich put against Roma, that's incredible. I think the last time we saw a team play that was probably the Barcelona 5-0 against Real Madrid at the Nou Camp. Because Roma are a very good team, very very good team, and they was unreal. Every time they got the ball, they looked so dangerous, keeping the ball everywhere. The people switching positions. Boateng was popping up in the left wing channel. All sorts was happening. They're such a good team. Lam is an excellent footballer as well. And Thiago and Alonso aren't even playing. All Martinez is injured as well. Martinez is injured as well. All these players ain't even playing. And they beat Roma 7-1 at the Stadio Olimpico. We'll see what happens when City goes there. That will show the levels that we'll see. See what Cody and they'll get boosted. I think so, but yeah. If it, how do you think you're going to win the Champions League?
Semi-finals, probably final.
I lose
to Bayern.
I think you would. I think
because tactically outdo us if they get there.
I think your teams will be very dangerous in the Champions League.
Especially
the 4-3-3.
Away from home, crush.
I think the whole Premier League just need to gang up and just bang Chelsea, mate.
Yeah,
fucking hell. Anyhow, you guys go unbeaten, I'll just kill myself, mate.
Serious question: was Ramirez playing against Man City? I don't think he was. Was he?
He wasn't. No, he was. He did. He was crap.
Nah, he didn't play.
He did. He played alright.
He did.
I'm pretty certain he played. He did play. I'm sure he did. Or did he come on?
I don't think he played. I think he came on.
He started and came off for was it Schürrle?
Yeah, that's it, exactly. Schürrle came on. Schürrle started the game.
No. Schürrle didn't start.
Let me check. I'm certain
Ramirez started. Schürrle came on.
I'm sure I remember cussing Ramirez.
And Schürrle come on and scored, didn't he?
He did start. Yeah, he did.
Schürrle come on and scored within five minutes or something like that.
Ivanovic, Terry, Kenny, Aspilicueta, Willian, Fabregas, Matic, Ramirez, Hazard, Costa. Yeah, Schürrle came off Willian.
Schürrle came off. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I see.
But the worst thing about that game, he played him on the right, though.
Yeah, he played on the right. He didn't play centre mid.
Yeah, I think if you play centre mid.
William played central. William played central.
That makes sense.
Romero wasn't doing his runs. Yeah, okay.
I hate him because he's so crap, but he's so dangerous at the same time.
Yeah, he's such a very... He's a good finisher as well, man.
In big games, you'll just bury him.
I don't understand it. He's like Park Ji Sung, like.
I used to hate Park as well.
Against Arsenal, he... It's like he hated Arsenal. It's like he actually hated him. Because he always banged against Arsenal. Always played well. Always did a job. Always shut down Fabregas. He was the pinnacle big game player. Everyone used to call him a big game player. If Park Ji Sung is playing, United have got a real big chance. Like, Park always been in the big matches.
You're so dead,
trusting him. Fergie trusted him bears.
No, but trust him.
You know what? You can be dead, but if you're bringing my team victories, with your performances, like big games, because most of the season you hardly played.
Because it got to a point where he started to play because of those performances. That's why I hated him, because he was so crap in other games. When he came against Arsenal, Chelsea, or Liverpool, he would just turn up, especially against Arsenal.
Yeah,
he was so good against Arsenal. So to be fair, I still love him, but he's still annoying me at times. I just don't like crap players.
That's true. Yeah, I understand. I have a personal issue
with Ramirez.
I don't have an issue. I think pretty much everyone on the podcast, bar me and probably Ellis, don't mind the functional players. Like, everyone else loves the technique, and I mean, don't get me wrong, I love technical players, but I still have time for the functional. I still have time for the players that will get the job done and get me over the line. You lot don't really, you guys are looking for, he has that technical ability, but like, these are special players. That's what
I
understand. James Milner, he's got technical ability, but, how many people, realistically, will say, I'd love James Milner in my team? Not many, unless you really appreciate him.
Unless he's not playing back.
Because James Milner in Newcastle and Aston Villa, wide, bad boy. He was a bad boy player.
His best season when he's playing
left foot, right foot. Yeah, of course. For Aston Villa. Aston Villa playing centre mid. It was disgusting. Left foot, right foot, power, pace. That team Milner's kind of gone now. Your utility, versatility, man.
But I think it's with Milner, because even as a people I didn't like, I think it was just the England performances. But then again, England's just a curse. England makes England.
I like Milner. I've got time for players like Henderson.
Henderson.
There we go. Because Henderson isn't technically amazing. He's nowhere near. He's not technically levels. Nowhere near. But his energy.
No.
It's not just that. His energy. High tempo play. Pressing. Passing. He's very good at passing. By no means excellent. He's not got like a amazing vision, but he's got decent enough
vision.
He's expanding his game.
In transition, he's passing it live, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. He sees those kind of quick passes.
He can play.
I like Henderson. For certain games, I like him.
I don't like those type of players. Those box. There's not many box to box players actually like.
Yeah.
Kadira, I don't like him. Ramirez, don't like him. Even Fletcher United, I couldn't stand him at all. Couldn't stand Fletcher.
They have to be. Look, for me
Ramsey,
to like.
Ramsey don't like him that much. Even Vidal, don't like Vidal that much.
Now, for me to like box to box players, that's a lie. You love Vidal. The reason why you love Vidal is he's got very good technical ability. But players like Niango, man, again, he's a player you love because he's got immense technical ability. That's the thing. Like, these kind of players are not normal. Like, players like Vidal, look, Pogba, you call him a box to box midfielder. Look,
has Tete, that's why he's Pogba.
There we go. But take yeah. That's what I'm saying. For you to appreciate a functional utility player, they have to have technique. Yeah, that's you guys. That's what I'm saying. That's like touchline tracker. You know, that's like what we like. Yeah, that's I understand that. But I appreciate the fact. Yeah, I don't mind.
You're Muko, that's why.
I understand the functional. I don't mean,
it's true.
I mean,
the thing is, I'm one of the people who don't understand it. I see why. And I think you need those type of players. But I just don't like them.
Yeah. But see, that's why some teams are failing. Some teams don't go for the, you know.
Yeah, you need it.
You know, like Arsenal. They don't go for the functional sometimes.
Arsenal don't go anything. They actually just do Control C, Control V. They buy the same player.
Exactly.
It's actually true. You've got the same thing.
No functional players. The one functional player they've got is
Flamini.
Biggest scrub ever. Flamini, and they go for free.
Shout out to Lewis. Yeah, he was giving me grief because I called Flamini every guy.
He is a scrub.
He's a scrub of that dub. He is a mess, mate.
Do you know what? To be fair to him, he hasn't even been one of our worst players this season. Listen, come on, man. Those hand movements were quality, mate. Those directions, come on. If you need someone on like the building site to give out direction stuff, Flamini's top drawer, mate.
Because he loves Arsenal so much, yeah. When he plays in form, he lets it get to them. And I was telling him about Jude is swag. He's a Lewis, bro, we'll talk in it. Then later on, Lewis is like, I'm not too sure about Jude, you know.
No, I still like Jude, innit?
I know you still like him, but you still don't rate him as much as you usually do before.
No, it's not as much as I rate him. Actually, that's true. You blast any player you don't like.
That is not of an elite level, pretty much. And how many elite players do we have? We don't have any. Chelsea don't have many elite players. I blast every and anyone. Like in my team, I blast every and anyone. Like the players that don't get, you know, ever get criticized.
Hazard.
Probably Hazard.
Yeah, your boyfriend.
And even Hazard. Like, even Hazard. There's times I say, oh, what the fuck are you doing there? Like,
yeah, no, you'll never blast him.
Because I don't blast him.
Do you know, every Chelsea game I go on FA's timeline, I see Cahill blasting to them.
But everyone, look, if everyone is playing in level, and you have one guy constantly fucking up, how am I not going to get angry? That's mad.
If his timeline 3 years ago, Beluda,
fucking hell.
Yeah, I think that's when I started following him.
If Chelsea lost, I swear to God, there was tears in my eyes. Because it was a pure rage. And if obviously, I know his voice. The words were like speaking to me. It was just hilarious. Oh, like, the thing is, it'll be like, trust me, the team, he goes, oh my god, Blue's coming up. Oh my god. Next week, oh my god, we've lost. Watch. And then he'll do something that'll be like, oh, corner, watch, you're going to score. They're going to score. Do it. It's just too funny. Because it actually always used to happen. As soon as the Blue come on, Chelsea
watch. Oh my word. It was like, and what used to piss you off the most is like, Carlo, can you not see this shit? Like, are you fucking with me? Can you not see what the fuck is going on? You're bringing on man to fuck up. When the Luda came on Champions League final, I said, Robbie, you are killing me. I said, you are killing me. This is gonna go awfully wrong. I was so happy he didn't step up to the pens, nothing, like, because I said,
you're busy,
it's gonna fuck up everything, like.
I enjoyed them short few years of Chelsea just flopping, man. But
yeah, I've got a bunch of pick of you, so yeah. The other day, you asked me this, the elite teams, one to Chelsea as an elite team. Like, how dare you? You haven't touched top two in 3 years, and you're
Chelsea are an elite team.
Okay, we'll see. They should. Okay, they'll probably will be in the season, but you came sixth, third. Like, you can't be put the same bracket as Barca. You can't put the same bracket as Bayern and Barca.
Yeah, I saw your tweet the other day, if about you're like the second best team in the world right now or something.
What? Oh, in terms of, no, wait, in terms of team, yes. I'm sorry, yes. I don't think Real Madrid would want to play Chelsea. I don't think so. I think the only team that wouldn't mind playing Chelsea right now is Bayern Munich. That's nothing to do with our better play. No, team. As a team, Chelsea are second best in the world right now. Team, the key word team, not man for man.
Because what if I say, I hope you get bopped by Man
say,
United, man. I hope Man United bangs.
The thing is, whenever I do say, second best team, whatever, people say, man for man. I'm like, what's that? Football is not man for man. Team, Chelsea are behind Bayern Munich by a distance. I'm not saying by million miles away, and I'm not saying that Chelsea are streets ahead of Real Madrid or Barca, but what I'm saying is, as a team, Chelsea are second best, and I can say that comfortably, and I don't think many people can argue with me, as a team, you know what?
No, Real Madrid will beat you, Barcelona will beat you.
Yeah, but Chelsea would beat Real Madrid or Barcelona.
In two legs, Barcelona and Real Madrid are beating you guys.
No chance. Nope.
So by your theory, you should get to Champions League final this year, then?
That's what I said. Chelsea should be in the semi-final, at least. If we can get to the semi-final last season, no striker, then it's a joke if we don't.
Listen, Lewis, I'm telling you now, these pricks, they will go to these grounds there, and then Mourinho, they will not, the other team will not score. They will just not score. And then they'll come to Stamford Bridge, and they will just swallow them.
The reason why I'm saying we're second best team is because we have the ability, the mental stability as well, to do that. We can switch it. We can actually be solid, resolute. You know,
I can actually see Chelsea just apart from Bayern, because I think
Bayern. Bayern control. I can't explain Bayern. Like,
I don't think
that they've got multiple ways of playing, but they've got so many different avenues. Like, they are so ahead. They're so ahead.
And the thing is, they are missing players as well.
It was so scary. And, like, say for example, it's like, okay, for the Spanish teams, I think if Bayern Munich was, you know, already in the semis, for example, and you've got in the draw, you've got Chelsea, Bayern. No, you've got Chelsea, Barca, Real Madrid, and Bayern, yeah? I think Real Madrid would probably prefer to play Bayern than play Chelsea. And I think Barcelona would probably rather play Real Madrid.
The number two.
Or Bayern than Chelsea. But I think Bayern would prefer to play Chelsea than Real Madrid. If you understand what I mean,
styles, and
that's because of styles.
I think I've always had this opinion that once teams are of a similar level, it's just about styles.
That's what I think.
I think it's about styles because there was a period where we could not beat Chelsea at all.
Yeah.
At all, we could not. But we'll go Stamford Bridge, get peppered. The Old Trafford, get peppered. Like, we couldn't beat them. Every other team. We'll go to AC Milan, move AC. We can move Real, we can move, but we just cannot beat Chelsea. Like, it's just a styles thing. Same thing with Arsenal. Arsenal, they could, no matter how well Arsenal playing or not, they just can't beat Man United.
Yeah.
Or Chelsea.
That's one of the things.
Or Man City.
It's like a mental block. You know what I mean?
Fucking hell. I think, mate.
Against Chelsea in the final, they'd probably whack us. No joke. I think they'd probably whack us. Like, they would give us they will play well enough to make Chelsea think, rah, this is where we need to be. Do you know what I mean?
The one like the Barca United 2-0 one, where everyone thought it would be equal game, and then
I never thought that would be an equal game. Nah, I knew you lot would get smacked. Because you played Gigs in the field, I knew what time
it was. No, not that game. Not that last 3-1. The one before. When Messi scored a header.
No, I didn't think you'd win that.
I thought you lot would win that, to be honest. Because I didn't think Barca deserved to be there. They didn't, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. I think it was... That was the funniest... That was so...
They didn't deserve to be there. They didn't deserve to win that.
I think, and this is another thing.
I think if we got to the final, we would have smacked you. I think we would have smacked you.
Yes.
We were a lot better the second year. In the second, what's it called? In terms of Champions League, under Hiddink, we were solid.
We were still better than you.
No, man, we were still better than you. Nah, I don't even think you didn't beat us when Hiddink came. You didn't touch us.
When he didn't beat us.
We don't get hooked with draws anyway. We just always get Bayern Munich or Barcelona. It's just so fucking out of order.
No,
but there are teams. Yeah, even when we finished first, I swear one time we got Barcelona because they finished second.
And they smacked us at San Siro.
But we always get ended like.
Yeah, but even if he's like Atletico Madrid, Roma, these men will spin the life out of you. PSG.
Yeah, but you say that, but when they come Emirates, I don't know.
Nah, I'm not PSG, man.
I'm not afraid of them teams at the Emirates, man.
At the Emirates,
we actually do alright in Europe.
They will spin you, but.
To be fair, that's quite true, to be honest.
Yeah, but listen, but away from home, oh my god.
Yeah, at home, away from home, we'll get spun, but at home, we spin teams as well, so.
Yeah, to be honest, Arsenal.
Who we spun at home? You're talking about AC Milan. Like we didn't spin AC Milan at home.
That was how many years ago.
Okay, but we played all right against Bayern Munich.
But do you know what's funny?
Arsenal
in the Champions League.
But we had ten men, man.
Arsenal in the Champions League. You know, Emirates has a bit of an atmosphere.
We beat Barcelona. We got Welbeck.
And you send 42 million to one who's not going to do anything, bro.
Oh, shut up.
I have to get Ozil thinking in there somewhere.
Ozil, maybe not a big waste of money, but he is a waste of money.
Yeah, he's a waste of money. Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to call it a day there. I'm not going into Ozil bashing, mate. And it's like an hour and a half of pod already, so.
Yeah, cool, man.
Yeah.
Prediction results.
Alright, yeah, go on, prediction. Oh, go on, quickly. Wait, when's that on Saturday?
Yeah, tomorrow.
5 o'clock kickoff?
Yeah.
Ah. Oh. I'm going to have to Sky Go that.
I'm not going to do this, because I've got a game. I'm
going to
take my flipping laptop with me and
go
in the car. I ain't missing that, mate.
Yeah.
I'm
on
the
Suarez
to come off the bench and score.
Where is it? Is that Bernabeu
New Camp?
New Camp.
When
did
you get in touch?
Ooh. I'm going 3-3.
I'm going 2-2.
I'm going 3-2.
I think Neymar's going to get a brace, though.
Messi
and Neymar link up is looking alright. Alright, what about Chelsea, Man United? I think we're going to do a live pod afterwards, so.
Yeah, I don't
know. 2-1 to team that wins. That's what I reckon.
I'm going 1-0 Chelsea.
Big games,
Go on, just do your compulsory 3-0 to Man United, so Chelsea win 8-0.
You always
have
that.
Do a
draw.
What draw? What score? We going high score draw or?
1-1.
1-1. Alright then. That's fair enough.
2-1
to Man United. Controversial. Yeah,
very controversial. I believe in you,
Adamel. Yeah. Welbeck 5, Falcao 1.
Okay, that's cute.
Wait, is it 5-1 or 6-1 now? Has Welbeck got 6?
I think he's got... I don't know. Welbeck has scored 50 this season, but I'm still not asked about Falcao. I'm happy with Falcao.
That's right. I'll take Welbeck.
You enjoy Welbeck.
I will. Anyway, we'll see you Sunday.
I've got the Arsenal game. I'm predicting 2-1 Sunderland.
Oh, I'm not even... I don't do Arsenal games, man. Bloody... I think we'll go 2-0 down early. And scrap a 2-2 draw. Yeah. Anyway, guys. See you on Sunday.
It wasn't easy, but nothing is